Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast with your host, me and Jen.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. Guess what?
What?
Guess where we're at?
We are at Glass City Paracon.
We are in the beautiful Oregon, Ohio at Owens Community College on this gorgeous Saturday. And we are hanging out with many, many vendors here. We have guest speakers. Dustin Perry is here.
He's over there.
He has been busy since he got here. I don't know how he doesn't go hoarse.
I know. But we were talking before the doors opened. We were all just hanging and talking, and we were talking about our different events that we went to. And it's like I told him our story about the hotel.
Yes.
up in Sault Ste. Marie, and he's like, "I've stayed in a few of those."
Yeah, really. But yeah, it's just a great event today. There's just everybody's here. Great Lakes Apparition Seekers are here. Togues is here. Haunted Toledo. PESI or PSIE. Al's group.
You should know. I always say that wrong.
So bad. And right across from us is the Old Mill Museum in Dundee. They're going to be having a show soon.
That's right.
And
yeah.
That is Spirit World Paranormal Investigations. They are the host for that.
Okay.
But just amazing. There's lots of different types of vendors here. We have jewelry and
lip
food.
Service is right across from us.
Yeah. They got some people that are selling lipsticks and some really pretty jewelry. Authors. Jim from Tony Paco's, which is a very famous hot dog place, Hungarian hot dog place, if you ever watch MASH.
Yeah, and we've actually investigated there. And
yes.
There was a lot of activity going
Joe
on
got
there.
Some great stuff on the hobby list there. But we're here and we're just checking everything out. We've had some great activity on our raffle. We are raffling off a K2 meter. So a lot of people are in for that.
Hey, if you can get a K2 meter for $1.
That's right.
That's the way to go.
That's amazing. But yeah, why not? $1, you could have a cool piece of ghost hunting.
$1, make the ghost holler.
That's right. And I'm sitting here.
One of the bad things about our spot.
What's that?
Marco's Pizza is right behind us.
Hi, guys.
And
how are you?
They are serving food.
I know. It's
pizza.
So delicious.
And you can smell it. I've already had some.
Yeah. I know, me too. It's funny because we go to these things and not a lot of times there's not food. And this one's kind of cool because there's Marco's Pizza's like in Toledo. It was started here. It's a local company and they've very fresh ingredients and their pizzas are so good.
Yeah.
And they have great subs too. I don't know if you ever had bread. Oh,
no.
Delicious.
I've only had their pizza.
Yum. But we've met so many people already who are friends on Facebook, have come up and shake our hands and get lots of hugs, which I love.
That's why we're doing this. You know, we want to meet everybody.
Tell our listeners what that gentleman did for us earlier.
Oh, yeah. He actually blessed us or saged us. Oh, no.
Yeah. Smudged
us. How come I can't even remember that?
It is sage, but yeah.
He smudged us.
He was a Native
American.
He gave
us a blessing.
Yes. And he came over because Joe and I have, you know, just can't hurt.
No.
You know, going on all these haunted locations. We don't want anything to stick around with us.
Yeah.
But, it was interesting. He did a blessing on both of Joe and I, and he saged and smudged us. He smudged us.
In the Native tradition.
Yes. And didn't he say some kind of like Native American words?
Yeah.
I didn't understand.
Native cantation.
Yeah, cantation. That's what it was. But yeah, very cool. So like, I'm excited.
And it's funny when he was doing it, I started to sweat.
Yeah,
like it was coming out. You know, because that's all
purging negative garbage. We don't want it. We want positive and light.
Yeah.
But I am just so excited to hang out with all our friends here.
It's neat having a convention in town with everybody that we know.
Yes, it's so cool. It's like hometown heroes.
Yeah.
But yeah, great. Event. I haven't seen any of the speakers yet, but Joe and I have been so busy at our booth. We've got a ton of people.
That's what stinks is we go to these events and we can never see the speakers.
I know.
So, yeah. Yeah, we need to change that. Let's open this wall up next to us.
Yeah, let's do it. But, you know, we have these really cool t-shirts that we're selling. Seriously Squatchy is one of them. And then I Speak EVP, and everybody's just going gaga over them.
So hopefully we'll have some left after the show that you guys can order online.
Yeah, and just let us know. We
can always have
up to 5X. So if you need a bigger shirt, we got it.
Mm-hmm.
We got you covered. Interesting ghost stories today, Joe. We've had a lot of people sharing their stories already.
The gentleman that you were just talking to, maybe if we see him walking around, let's try to get him on air.
Okay.
And hopefully he can tell us some, because he had some really cool stuff.
But anyways, just want to give a shout out to a couple of my friends. So hopefully they're listening to this. And if they're not, I'm going to beat them up.
Yeah.
But I want to give a shout out to my friend Kelly. He wants to come on a ghost investigation with us. So I said, definitely, absolutely. He's into that spooky kind of stuff. I want to give a shout out to my friend Steve. Steve Sabo is a comedian. Check out his website at stevesabo.com. Sabo. I said it wrong. Sorry, Steve. Sabo. Check him out.
I do that all the time.
I know, but he's got a cool, you know, he travels around and does, he's been doing it for many years. And he's into the paranormal, and he's got some stories he'd like to share with us. So.
Good. Let's get him on.
And then I also want to give a shout out to my martial arts team. I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm now taking martial arts instructions under my Sifu Mike. So Sifu Mike, thanks for whipping my body into shape and all the bruises, but it's well worth it. So now, Joe, I can karate chop you.
Karate chop.
Karate. Karate. I'm stupid, but that's okay. Anyways, but yeah, what do you think so far, Joe?
This is awesome. I went up to Al Luna from PSIE. Mm-hmm. I think I always say it wrong.
Paranormal Spirit Encounters.
But I went up to Al earlier, and I told him, I said, you did awesome.
Yeah.
This
great.
This is awesome. I mean,
this is,
I know
what a convention
we
should
say
be.
That a lot about all the shows we go to, but when he brought the idea to us, mm-hmm. and said that he wanted to do it at Owens, we're like, I don't know if they would do that. And the minute he told the person that runs the school, they were like, yeah. And there's, in the room that we're in, what do you say, about 40 vendors?
Oh, 40, yep. And then there's some out in the hall, some teams, mm-hmm. and some jewelry makers out in the hall.
Then the speakers in the other room, like we were saying mm-hmm. hello there. And I'm surprised at the turnout.
And you know what's nice, too, is they do have mediums and psychics and readers and tarot card readers that people can go to. But they're in a separate room, so you don't get all this background noise. You're able to concentrate and focus on your reading. And, you know, you just go and you sign up, and then they edit for a certain time, and you pay your money. And then you can go and get a reading, which I'd love to do. I don't know if we can get away from our booth. We're so busy. But, yeah, definitely just nice the way that it's set up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
He gave us a huge spot.
It's got some people coming over. Help yourself. There's all. We got plenty more. We, my niece made us some cupcakes. She owns a cupcake bakery. Yep. Well, it's Joe's niece, too.
Yeah.
Not just mine. But seven little cupcakes in Perrysburg. You can look at.
And they are our sponsor of the show for today.
Yeah. So she made us some ghost cakes. I call them their little, they look like little ghost cupcakes, and they're delicious. So if you need a wedding cake, a custom birthday cake, or cupcakes, just go out to Perrysburg. She's on Sandusky Street, seven little cupcakes. You can check her out on Facebook and look at her beautiful wedding cakes. They're so gorgeous. I want to get married just to have
a
wedding cake.
She had one that was hanging from the ceiling like a chandelier. It was
amazing.
She made it on top of a real chandelier,
she's
was
so creative.
Hanging from the ceiling.
It was the most gorgeous.
I wanted
cake
to walk past it and start swinging it.
Do you remember where did we go that the chandelier was swinging? Was that Tony Paco's?
That was Tony Paco's.
Oh my gosh, we went to an investigation, and there's these old antique chandeliers, and how heavy do you think those are, Joe?
Well, they're actually fake, but they still weigh 150 pounds. They're not real glass, but they're so big they still weigh that much.
But it would take a lot of force or a lot of energy to move that. I mean, it's not like an air conditioner, you know, blowing could move that.
No. And
so, go ahead. Sorry. Oh. Go ahead.
And Butch from Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunter Society actually went and had lunch there and sat in that chair and watched that thing. He said he was there for over an hour and a half and it never moved.
Yep. So that was just really cool experience. you know, one of the places that we were really fortunate to investigate. And the manager of Tony Pacos is actually a vendor here. He is a author, and he has tons of books. Look at all those books that he has on his table.
I couldn't believe how many books he wrote.
He has really cool, strange and unusual type books. He has some comic books, but he also has like some true life, like crime stuff and mysterious, cryptid type books. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, we'll get him on.
Yeah, his name is Jim, and I'm staring at him. I wonder if he knows we're watching us, squatching us.
We're squatching him.
We're squatching.
So, okay.
Squatching.
As we always say when we do the conventions, we got our first guest here standing here waiting patiently for us. And let's get her on the mic here and let's get going.
All righty. And with us today, we have Michelle from Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunter Society. Hello.
Hello.
We've been wanting to get you on this program forever.
I know. We're like two ships passing
in
the night.
But we're docked together today.
Oh, right? Geez. Stuck together forever.
My mom always says, you'll be at the airport when your ship comes in. I'm like, I know. I always miss my opportunities. But we're here together. Like
Aunt Kathleen. When Aunt Kathleen died, they did a ceremony. And she was cremated, and they messed up, and she was not at her own funeral.
She missed her own funeral.
Oh, well, that will be me, so I'm glad I won't be the first.
Yeah.
So Michelle is with Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunter Society, and she has the role of the Tranquility Specialist.
Yes.
So we wanted to get you on just to tell everybody what exactly it is and your role in the group and what you do and how you got into it and what you're doing now. So let's just start off by, what is the Tranquility Specialist?
Well, in a nutshell, I'm the person that gets called in when you have a paranormal situation that you want to get rid of.
Okay.
So I'm the person that comes in and, you know, kind of, for lack of a better term, puts a ghost in a box and takes them somewhere else.
Okay.
So I come in for all of our extreme cases where they're either scared and they want it to stop, or they are being harmed.
Okay.
And we make sure that that gets stopped. And I also help to protect our investigators as well.
Oh. Okay.
And what methods do you use to do that?
Well, oh, God, we could go forever.
I know. Go, girl. Go.
Well, I guess I'd have to kind of start at the beginning. When I was 12, I moved into a very haunted home in Point Place. It was actually a bootlegging house.
Oh, cool.
And there's FBI files on it, we found out. So we've actually figured out who's
cool.
there. But we would have activity all the time, and it scared the crap out of me and my sister. And I'm not one to sit idle, so I started looking into how to protect myself. I'm Christian, but I'm also Native American in my background, so I started looking into Native American traditions and the use of sage and cleansing herbs and incense and rituals. And over the years, friends realized what I was into, and I started helping them out. And I do a lot of smudging rituals where you take a sacred smoke and smudge it around the space to remove negative energy. And it just kind of snowballed from there, and I decided that I had enough friends and friends of friends that were asking for help that I would look for a group that I could join, and I ended up with Togues.
Awesome.
So
that's amazing. So how long have you been with Togues now?
Ooh, 2007, 10 years.
Oh.
10 years. It's your anniversary.
Yeah.
Right? I was just thinking about that the other day. I'm like, has it been 10 years already?
Oh my gosh. Time flies when
it
you're
does.
Having fun.
Yes, it does.
Time just flies too fast.
Especially when you're sitting in the dark with nothing else to do with a recorder talking to thin air.
But we love it.
Yeah. A lot of people find that so odd. They're like, why do you guys sit in the dark? You know? And we're like, because we like to.
Exactly. And we love talking to ourselves forever. I mean, talk to Harold. He'll talk to himself for 45 minutes.
I could see that.
Yeah.
As long as he has coffee and a cigarette, he's awesome.
Oh my
That's
God.
True.
And we run on coffee as paranormal investigators.
Yes.
That is for sure. I mean, we could go really deep down the rabbit hole. I mean, what I do is a little woo-woo, so.
Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah, we love woo-woo.
Yeah.
Bring it on,
the more
sister.
Woo-woo, the better.
All right. Well, where do you want to start?
Let's start with from the beginning. So you have a client or a person who calls you.
Okay.
And they have an issue in their home. What first steps do you take as the Tranquility Specialist? How do you... I want to say validate. What's another word for it?
Well, basically, what is your steps to that when you come in, the client asks you to come in, they're worried. there's always a beginning.
Yeah. The beginning actually doesn't even start with me. It starts with our case manager for Togues, Becky. And she goes through with the client. We have a questionnaire that they fill out in an interview process. And then they determine if we should talk about going into an investigation, and then we all get together and do an investigation if that's what is warranted for that client. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, when we present evidence, they make a determination on whether or not they want to get rid of it. And okay. That's when I actually come in. Then I read the case file again and go through the evidence that we potentially have, because you have to, as a tranquility specialist or somebody who's going to remove a paranormal entity, you have to figure out what you're removing before you can take it out.
Yeah, definitely.
So you bring the right cage, essentially. Yeah. And after I've kind of gotten my brain wrapped around what they probably have going on, then I can select the appropriate kit to take with me, whether it's going to be, you know, the holy water and the anointing oil, or the frankincense and myrrh, or the Native American smudges, or if it's a situation where the client just really needs somebody to kind of hold their hand and help them take their house back, where you stand in the middle of your home and you're like, no, you have to go, and you basically scream at the entity a lot until it leaves.
Yeah. It's like, get out now.
Right?
Get out. You're not welcome here.
Not in my house. Yeah. Get out. Yeah. I mean, it can get a lot more in depth than that. Some of what I does can stretch your brain a little bit, because it's so on the fringe of society.
Yeah.
I do a lot of Native American tradition. There's a lot of chanting that can go on, which I do it under my breath because it tends to freak people out. But that's all based on intent, so that you're very clear with the entity, you have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And some spirits are easier to take out than other spirits are.
Yeah, depending on, you know, I've heard of different stages of being I want to say entity or whatever. And the older ones know more.
Yes.
And they know all the tricks in the book.
Yes.
So it's the younger ones that are kind of naive and say, oh, okay, I'll leave. And that's the ones you like.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you've picked, like, say Aunt Sally just passed over and she's decided to stick around in your house, chances are she's not really sure what's going on herself either.
Yeah.
So you can kind of help her to cross over.
Mm-hmm.
And, but if it's a Native American spirit, because this area in Toledo is very Native American based. We've had a lot of Native American burial grounds dug up. If it's a Native American spirit, then there's an entirely different process because they're not going to go unless you basically unravel the chain that keeps them there.
And they're more spiritually attached to land and nature.
And
that, so yeah, so they don't want to leave that space.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and maybe that's why they're still, because we hear that all the time. You know, we're a Native American burial ground. Well, really, everywhere was.
Yeah.
You know,
really.
And that's what's so cool is they are attached to nature, to where somebody that passed away nowadays are more attached. I don't want to sound weird, but maybe attached to things instead of nature.
Right.
You know, and like you say, it does take different chance or different techniques to get rid of a different style of spirit, like you said.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, for Aunt Sally, we're gonna help her cross over.
Mm-hmm.
But for a Native American protection spirit, we might have to appease them rather than remove them.
Yeah.
There's a couple of Native American spirits that you can pull them out of a property by using fruit or planting a fruit tree. It kind of helps to calm them down so they stop causing the activity.
Oh, interesting.
But they are. They're very much a part of the land. They're a part of a process that was set up back before people actually had colonized the area versus a human spirit who's very attached to, say, a home or a person.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you can remove that person or that prop or that actual building from the property and they will leave themselves as well.
Okay. One of the things, I don't know if it's a good question to ask you or not, but to get your opinion, is we were talking on one of our last shows about haunted objects and haunted places. And we were thinking, okay, so let's say a building or an object is haunted. You know, let's say if the Spirit Rock is haunted. Okay?
Okay.
That gets destroyed, smashed into 1,000 pieces. Does that spirit, is he able to go into each piece? Or how, I mean, I'm not saying just for the rock idea, but a building, think about a building
Right.
gets taken apart or a haunted object gets destroyed?
Right.
All those pieces, do they still entangle that spirit?
Well, it depends on the type of spirit again. Okay. If it's a human, they're more attached to the entire structure. So most times, if you demolish the entire building, mm-hmm. they either find somewhere else to inhabit, or they end up crossing over just out of requirement. Oh, okay. If it's a non-human spirit, and there's a huge pantheon of non-human spirits out there across traditions, they, depending on the type of entity it is that's attached to that property, they could be potentially attached to each individual shard of that stone that you broke apart or the house that you broke apart. And then there's, in order to get rid of that, like say it's a smaller object, what we would recommend is that you clear the object with a salt water wash, smudge the object, and then depending on what type of object it is, you could even burn it.
Oh, okay.
But you can't just like throw it out.
Yeah, because that's what, and that comes with like Ouija boards a lot. People just throw them out, and we did a show about that, and I actually, you know, I didn't know much about them, so I did the research, and there is a technique even just to get rid of like a Ouija board.
Yep.
So that goes along with any object that you think could be haunted. There are techniques that you need to do to get that cleansed out.
Exactly. Before.
Because I was thinking that too is, okay, let's say we break something apart and all these people start getting these objects or even like a building, because you have people that collect pieces of the building, mm-hmm. like bricks and that.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of them objects now, instead of having one haunted location, it's starting to grow and move out.
Once you break those pieces apart and you take them other places, they're still spiritually connected to each other. So now essentially you've just created a spirit highway, and they can jump locations real easily.
Mm-hmm.
And we can go even deeper and say that creates now portholes into your property where other entities can come through. Yep.
Because we all know that, you know, even like we talk about Gibbs Bridge and how we don't think it was actually originally haunted or that, but it's a good place when all these people are going there saying, you know, talk to us, talk to us. It's drawing the spirits into that location.
Most definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Gibbs Bridge is a really great example of that. Yeah. I mean, you're right. It wasn't haunted. Haunted Toledo is proof to that. That's just an urban legend.
Mm-hmm.
But you get enough people in one location that have the intent, because everything on the other side is based on intent, to communicate with the other side. And now you're opening that door. You're creating that door and opening it up for something to come through.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Sorry, I had to step out. We had some people at our booth. I do have questions, and I'm blanking out. But okay. What is your favorite item or thing to use when you are doing a blessing or a cleansing? What's your number one go-to?
An abalone shell.
Okay.
Frankincense, myrrh, lavender, sage. In the abalone shell with a charcoal disc and a standard turkey feather.
Okay.
That's my Native American tradition. Catholic churches do the same thing with the incensure. Mm-hmm. They just use the standard incense. For most properties, that's what I use for my own home. I actually like to carry around a quartz crystal with me because it helps to clear the vibrations in the energy fields as well.
That house that you grew up in, do you still have access to it?
Not at the moment. I do
not. Okay, so somebody else lives there.
My stepdad still lives there. Okay. It's he's not been doing very well, so he doesn't want people in the house.
Okay. Just wondered if there's still activity going on.
Oh, yeah. There certainly is. I actually only live 6-8 blocks away from that home, and they jump location quite often. They actually come over to my house, and they turned on an unplugged coffee pot at midnight one night.
Oh,
my coffee pot was running without being plugged in. It was crazy.
That is amazing.
What other kind of activities do they do? Do you think they're malicious, or do you think they're just naughty? Or
no, they're kind of just naughty. I mean, once I really got into the things that I do, into cleansing and spirit communication, I pretty quickly realized that especially with human spirits, intelligent hauntings, you can talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
They understand just like you and I are talking, even though I couldn't hear them.
Yeah.
So I just told them, listen, you got to cut the crap. Stop messing with me or you're going to have to go. They like to move things you need. I set my keys in the same spot every day on the counter, and they would hide them. They'd end up like under the couch or in the refrigerator. What the heck?
Yeah.
So they're more mischievous than anything. Although my mom, after I moved out of the property, about 6 months after I moved out, my mom did report being choked in bed 3 or 4 different times.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So I don't think that was actually the entities that live at that house. I think that she had what we call a pass-through, which is where something kind of comes through your home. It can decide to stay or leave.
Okay.
She prayed for protection and it stopped.
Good.
But yeah, that's probably the only malicious thing that's happened there. Mm-hmm. They love to walk in... up and down the stairs.
Yeah.
My parents have these heavy oak chairs. They would pull those out in the middle of the night. Our most often activity was sitting in the living room. You could look through the dining room into the kitchen, and you would hear 3 or 4 people talking in the kitchen in the middle of the night, and you'd be the only one in the house.
Wow.
They would turn on my mom's old-style boombox that had, like, the toggle switch, and then you had to turn the dial to turn it on.
Uh-huh.
They'd turn that on. And then change the channels.
Oh, nice.
In the middle of the day all the time.
Wow.
So they just did all sorts of stuff, opening up cabinets, and it was really active.
Now, are you able to see them, like physically see them, or is this something that happens and are they a shadow, or are they a mist, or are they just, can't see them?
They actually showed up, when you could visually see them, which wasn't all the time, as like a big shape of color. They didn't really have a whole lot of definition.
Okay.
It was kind of like hazy color, almost like a mist, but not a little bit more solid than that.
Interesting.
Yeah, because you hear about it, but until you experience it, you know, it's a different story. Now, this activity, where do you think that stems from? Do you think it was tied to the house, the land, or the people?
For my parents' property, it was very much tied to the fact that it was one of the first houses in Point Place, and it was a bootlegging house.
Oh, yeah.
So part of the Al Capone gang lived there for about 2 years.
Oh.
They killed people in the basement.
There you go.
That would do it.
So that explains it.
Yeah. But the funny story is we don't think it was actually the people who were murdered in the basement that are there. We think it was people that were part of the gang that ended up after they passed over, they came back.
Huh.
One of them was a radio singer, and she'll sing to you.
If you're
quiet enough in the house, sometimes you'll hear her singing upstairs or downstairs in the basement.
Wow. Mm. Now, have you got any recordings of that?
I was not allowed to record in my own home.
Dang it.
Yeah, I would love to say that I have all of this evidence. I've got a lot of people have had personal experiences. My fiance could come on and tell you about the time that we were sitting at the kitchen and he heard her singing and he thought he was losing his mind.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, no recordings. I was forbidden to do that by my parents.
So here's my question. It's weird. You know, I like to go down rabbit holes too. But
we could go real deep.
I love rabbits. Anyways, that's all another story. So when you banish a spirit from a location, where does it go? Does it just go outside of the physical space, or does it go somewhere else, or does it go into somebody or another property, or how does that work?
Well, it depends on the spirit, but sometimes they cross over. Human spirits sometimes cross over. Sometimes they're just forced off property. If they're non-human, it gets a little bit crazier than that, a little bit more abstract. We did a non-human case on the east side where this entity was just absolutely terrorizing this family, scratching them, pushing them, screaming at them, hovering over them at night. And we went in and did an eviction, which is a more extensive process than just your standard cleansing. It's more draining on me.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually more draining on the property owners because they feel frightened at that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's literally like going toe-to-toe with a spirit and kicking them out. So we did an eviction. I had my camera guy. And while we were going through the home doing our primer smudge, we were walking up the stairs with my abalone shell, my smudge smoke, and my turkey feather. And you know, I'm chanting.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what chant I used. I kind of tailor them. And it was the camera guy's first cleansing blessing eviction ever. And this thing started screaming like an infant. There were no babies in the house.
Oh, my goodness.
And he's like, oh, my God, do you hear that? And I'm like, just ignore it. It knows what we're doing. It doesn't want to be kicked out. We're just going to keep going. That entity just got forced off property because it was non-human. It had enough ability to manipulate its surroundings. And the clients for a couple of weeks saw it running up and down the property line, but it couldn't get back on because we had set up a protection line on the property with salt.
So using, is it a certain type of salt that you would use, or is this any type of?
You can use table salt. If you're in a pinch, just go ahead and grab any table salt. Iodized salt works fine, but I usually like to use a natural sea salt. Or if you want to get super fancy and spend extra money and be super cool, you could get rock salt or Himalayan salt. But sea salt works great. Yeah, you put that, use the sea salt over your doors and your windows. Any entry port that people, normal people come in and out of tend to be all supports for spirits because most of them are human. They feel best
feel
that
more
way.
Comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Now, why salt? What is in that that causes spirits not to pass over or makes a boundary?
Well, I would love to say for 100% certainty that XYZ does it, but I'm going to give you some theory.
Yeah, that's fine.
So salt is an ionizer. When you put it into water, as the sodium and the chloride break apart, they create a small electrical charge. So the belief is that when you lay down that light of salt, it's actually creating, with the moisture in the air, a small electrical charge that acts like a shield or a barrier in that spot that spirits just can't cross, like putting a goldfish into a tank of water and then putting up a bubble screen. They won't swim through it, neither will spirits. You can also use, in other traditions, brick dust from old homes that have been ground up. That's more of a hoodoo thing, though. Some people will set up certain gemstones. Amethyst is a good one, so is garnet, and quartz as well.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
No problem. Thank you for having
me. You're welcome anytime. Maybe someday we'll get a nice structured interview for you.
Definitely have you back in, and we'll talk about some deeper subjects. You know, things that, and processes that if somebody wants to use, you know, they'll be able to do. But tell everybody how to get a hold of you if they need help, where they can contact you at.
Most definitely. So you can go to toghs.org, that's toghs.org, and hit contact us. That will send the entire team an email. That's the best way to get in if you need a cleansing. You'll start with Becky, but you'll end up with me. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Toledo Ohio Ghost Hunter Society. That's the other
one. Awesome.
Michelle, thank you so much.
No problem.
Love talking to you. You're a wealth of knowledge, and we need more of it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And don't use Ouija boards. They're bad.
No. All right.
All right.
Thanks.
No problem. So thank you.
Joe, we have with us today a very special guest. We have Ryan from Haunted Toledo.
Hello.
Welcome, Ryan. How are you?
Hello, thanks. I'm doing real well today. Thank you.
Ryan, tell us a little bit about your role in the group Haunted Toledo.
I am an investigator. I am also the pit bull of the group, they call me. I'm the one with no fear. I'm the one they put in all the deep, dark holes and go after whatever's going on.
All right. So in your investigations, what's your procedure? Where do you like to start when you go into a location?
As far as, like, where at in the location, or where would you?
Sort of like, okay, somebody calls you in. You do your pre-op. Pre-op. You do your, you know, getting their names, what happened in the house, all that stuff. Pretty much the day that you walk in the door, what do you like to do first?
My first thing is to just walk around, get a feel of the place, just kind of get a layout, just kind of understand the building, as it were, before I go any further.
And in your role in the group, what type? Well, let me back up on that. So, like, your role within the group, what is your responsibility? When you go into a location?
My main responsibility is equipment setup and baseline readings, things like that.
Normally, how long would it take you to set up your equipment going into, say, just a regular size house?
Usually about 45 minutes to an hour to make sure with the mics and you know, sound equipment, everything like that. It does take a little bit of time.
Okay. What's your favorite piece of equipment you like to use when you investigate?
My favorite piece of equipment is basically the Well, I can't say my favorite piece of equipment because I do have several, but anything that picks up electromagnetic pulses or electromagnetic fields, that's kind of where I kind of stay too.
That's what I've mentioned it before to a few people, but it's so interesting. People say, "Oh, there's ghosts," and you're like, "Yeah, but you don't see them, you know." But it's so interesting to have like a K2 or that going off to questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you're getting a response. It's like you looked out at this thing and it's just a piece of machinery that picks up magnetic fields in the air.
Right.
But you're getting a response. And people are so blown away. I was blown away the first time it happened to me to think, okay, this stuff is real, you know?
Right. It's a lot of people use flashlights to try to talk back and forth with spirits or the spirit box, things like that. And everybody has their own little niche on what they like to do. But the direct response is if you're communicating through a machine and you're getting a direct response to multiple questions repeatedly, I mean, it's kind of hard to ignore that.
Yeah, yeah. And I always like to, you know, we were just doing an investigation a couple weeks ago, and we were like, the people come up with the big guns first. It's like, no. Establish the communication, establish a rapport, and then bring out the big guns.
Exactly. I mean, we have a ton of equipment that we utilize, but to me, it's the simpler things like the EMF detectors and even a REM pod, you know, because a REM pod can pick up on so many different, you know, barometric pressures and just things around it, and it's just something that I enjoy to use.
Yeah, yeah. How long? We've known Christopher for a long time, and we found out that the group got together. How long has the group been together officially?
Officially, we've been together a few months now. I want to say about 5-6 months.
Okay. And on your latest investigation, anything happened that you can talk about on the air? You know, I mean, I know you guys like to keep a lot of stuff private because you're doing a lot of private investigations.
Yeah.
But
our most recent one was the Commodore Perry Hotel downtown. Okay. And the building itself is a story in itself.
Yeah.
I mean, just the sheer beauty and really the unknown. I mean, people pass by that building numerous times a day throughout the week and have no idea the history or the architecture inside that building and some of the legends. Even some of the people, like Bob Hope, has been there. His daughter was married there.
Okay.
You know, Elvis stayed in the building.
Ooh, and Elvis is in the building.
There's just so much history that people don't realize are right in their own backyard. And that's something that it's close to my heart. And it's something that we want to share with the public and keep people involved and let them know what's right here in town.
Yeah. And that's what's so cool because, like I said, we've known Christopher. Christopher's all about the history.
Mm-hmm.
He's all about the legends and research and all that. And then when we found out he was had the team together, we're like, that just adds so much more to Haunted Toledo.
Right.
And now that you have a historian that is at his caliber and then has a team together and you guys work together awesome. I've seen a lot of your work. And just to put all that together makes that into one of the night.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the word, but it collates so much things together that makes it such a great investigative team to where you can get that evidence, and with the history you can look up the evidence that you get and actually put faces to the
credible evidence versus somebody just saying,
exactly.
Well, I went
that's
here
what I'm thinking.
And, and we got a demon.
Yeah. I couldn't think of how to say it exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, within your group, if you go into a location, what's your time frame? I mean, are you guys like in there for 3-4 hours?
Oh, are you all night?
No.
Yeah, we usually start to get to our locations around 6 or 7. That way it gives us time to get set up and get everything going. And then we're usually there till the wee hours of the morning. We like to stay till at least 4 a.m. And then we'll start breaking down after that.
What time of night do you feel like is the most active?
Well,
after midnight, 3 o'clock.
Between midnight to 3 o'clock. I mean, those are your witching hours, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But I think most of what we capture is about in that time frame, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It really has something true with that time frame.
Yeah, I've heard that so many times. And you're like, you know, ghosts basically don't know what time it is because there's no time on the other side.
Right.
But for some reason, they call it the witching hour, and it 3 o'clock seems to be around the same time that I hear a lot of people say that they get evidence.
I can't tell you how many times I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning just
right
wide awake.
A lot of people
like
say
what,
that.
Like something's waking me up. But now, what kind of safety precautions do you take when you guys go into some of these locations? Because, you know, some of these these places, they're very old, mm-hmm. they're very dirty, they're very dusty. What kind of things do you guys do to protect yourself?
Well, and that goes along with our walkthroughs and my initial walkthrough of the building, because I'll walk through and I'll look at the structural points of the building and, mm-hmm. you know, little booby traps or what have you around the place. And then we also wear, you know, protective masks and things like that. Mm-hmm. But we also say a prayer before we go into any location, and we do one after we're done as well, let things know, you can't attach to us or our equipment, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's just, it's big on safety, because like you said, a lot of the buildings we go into are, either abandoned or mm-hmm. just not familiar because no one's ever been in there before. Yeah. So safety first, obviously. We want to keep everybody in the crew happy mm-hmm. and safe and be able to go on to the next one.
Yeah, we are, some of the most scary things are the living.
Exactly. Exactly.
And when you do go into these places, and that's why we always preach, do not break in.
Yes.
Yeah, you never know.
Don't break in, because you go in there and it might be someone in there waiting for you.
There could be homeless people. There could be, people who are just not right. People who want to do you harm. But what have you ever experienced something that you just could not explain?
I personally have experienced a few things. I haven't necessarily witnessed a full-blown apparition or anything mm-hmm. like that, but some of the things that have gotten me interested in this over the years is objects moving. I witnessed objects moving on numerous occasions that have zero reason to move.
Okay.
And to me, that it's something that needs explained.
Yeah.
And it's something that I hold dear, that I want to figure out, mm-hmm. where is this energy coming from? Mm-hmm. Energy can't just dissipate. It has to go somewhere. It transfers form. So I'm wondering where it came from, where it's going, why it's here,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in order for a spirit to move a physical object, we think of just moving something, but it is such a hard thing for them because they don't have the form
right.
to move things. They they have to rely on their energy. And in order to move that so much, they have to put out so much energy. And to see something like that is just mind-blowing.
Have you ever seen or experienced yourself anybody getting the physical energy drained out of them?
Yeah, actually, I have. It happens more than you think, really. My wife, Nicole, who's also on the team, she is super sensitive to things, and it seems... a few investigations where things would almost prey on her energy, so okay. to speak, where mm-hmm. she would start to feel like just super tired, things like that. And I can't personally say that I ever feel that or experience that,
mm-hmm.
but for an entity or a spirit or what have you to draw that energy, like you said, to move mm-hmm. objects and things like that, our equipment will drain, batteries will drain, mm-hmm. and you see it on TV shows mm-hmm. and all that all the time, but it's actually a real occurrence.
Yeah.
To see it actually happen right in front of your face, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, because a lot of people see the TV shows and they think that that's how it really is, but there are aspects of that that actually do happen.
Mm-hmm.
You see a TV show and somebody says, I feel sick. I think I'm going to... That happens.
It does happen.
It happens a lot.
We actually had an incident at the Collingwood recently where one of our crew members had an experience where she was grabbed and mm-hmm. and physically brought to tears, because of what was happening with her. And it happened right in front of my face, And
mm-hmm.
for me, that was... It was a lot to take in.
Yeah.
To see her physically affected by what mm-hmm. was going on with her, it was really something.
Yeah.
That was a very unique night because Joe had experience, I had experience, you guys had experience. Mm-hmm. And
all separately.
Right.
All separate. But the year before when we were there, it wasn't like that at all.
No.
It was activity.
It was very active, but it was all positive uplift, nothing
right.
negative.
This year it was
it seemed
completely
the exact opposite.
Different.
Yeah,
it was.
A few people
was
had
so dark.
Mm-hmm. We saw people with marks on themselves or marks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was a girl from your team or up, but somebody got marked a few times.
Yeah, she had marks around her neck yep. and on her lower neck here. And
yeah.
Then, yeah.
In the basement, we call it the death room.
Mm-hmm. That's where it happened.
There is a partition. They made up like a little walkway with the chairs and then the partition. I got that partition pushed into me so hard that it pushed me over and Grizz, who is, if a lot of you guys don't know Grizz, he's a 6-foot tall grizzly, huge.
He's a big guy.
You've heard him on the show a couple of times, but it actually pushed us over. And then we were talking to Harold from Toledo Ohio Ghost Hunters Society. Mm-hmm. It happened to him, too.
Yeah, him and Butch were downstairs in that area. And one of the, I don't know what it was, a partition.
Like
or
an
some
office
sort of
partition
stage,
thing, yeah.
Fell right over on him, yeah.
So there's something there we haven't figured out yet. We always say, you know, Collingwood, the good spirits are there. Maybe the nuns, maybe me. But I think something came in.
I think somebody brought something in.
I was just going to say, with some of the artwork, we'll say, on the walls, kind of leads towards someone was maybe thinking they were banishing something and they might have brought something in.
Yeah.
And it was in that death room. It was painted on the wall in there, you know, and that's where we had our little experience. It was pretty scary for a minute.
I've got an old meter. I have the K2, but I also have this older meter that hardly ever works. And it was just going insane. It was going nuts in there.
A lot of weird energy in that building.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful building. I love the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
it's a great place to investigate, but you just got to be careful.
Oh, sure.
Because you just don't know. What if it jumps into you?
Exactly.
You never know. Of all of the places that you've been to and you investigated, what was your favorite place that just hyped you up? You loved it. It was so exciting. You just couldn't get enough and you want to go back.
For me, it was definitely the Commodore Perry.
Okay.
It's just the place. It's to be in there and to see, like, some of the rooms have been sealed off for decades, you
really?
Know.
Really? Wow.
And to find clothing, you know, I mean, there's one locker room that we found that has been sealed off forever. And we found, you know, remnants of people's workday. We found receipts and we found pay stubs and,
oh my gosh,
you know, just personal clothing left behind, which makes you wonder, you know, is this person's energy still here? You know, is there something tying this stuff to this place? You know, it's really creepy. And even to find that room, it was pretty hidden, you know.
That's like a gem.
Right.
You know, that's like a treasure hunter's. Because, you know, as investigators, it's almost like we're treasure hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But our treasure is the experience that we have.
Just to walk around that building and to be, it's almost like a trip back in time.
Yeah.
You walk into what used to be the main lobby area, which is all abandoned and boarded up now. But just to walk, let's say, in the footsteps of the people who walked there before, you can almost picture them. And they're going about their day and enjoying themselves and just taking in all the sights that is that building. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah. I saw the pictures you guys posted about the one hallway with the big windows.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I love that. And that's another reason why we do this is so we can get into them old buildings.
Right, exactly, exactly.
You know, Joe's a photographer. Mm-hmm. I love architecture. We also love paranormal. It's just like this perfect marriage of, like, you know, your passions and things you want to do.
That's what got me into this as a kid. I used to love, you know, seeing the old buildings and wanting to go inside and investigate, you know, illegally at the time, you know, it seemed like. But now that I get to be a part of this team, which this is a really, really great team. We all work together very well, and we all have the same goal. And Just to be a part of it's truly awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And to roll around in that big old camper.
Hey. Yeah. The HT1 RV. We're actually doing a promotion right now for the Toledo Children's Hospital. We're going to be doing a toy drive for them also. We're going to try to get some toys raised up for the kids and try to make some smile this Christmas season. We're going to try to fill the RV with as many toys as we can.
That's amazing.
Awesome. And let us know.
Yeah,
you know, we'll do anything for you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, we appreciate
that.
We're gonna have some drop-off points, and we're going to keep everybody informed and let them know what we're going to be doing and when. And we just want to keep the community involved and try to give back a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. That's what it's all about. You know, we're not a competition. We're all like pari-unity.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, it's, what's the one place anywhere in the world, if you had unlimited resources, that you would want to go to investigate?
I would have to say it would be Edinburgh Castle.
Ah, yes.
Scotland,
yes. That would be the ultimate for me. I mean, I'm of Irish descent, but to be at Edinburgh Castle, I think would be amazing.
Yeah.
And if you had unlimited phone funds, you could put the motorhome in the ship and drive.
There you go. Take the glamper.
Yeah.
The glamper, yeah.
All right, well, thanks for stopping by.
Sure,
I appreciate it.
Like I said, we love Christopher. We love having you guys on. And if you need anything, you let us know.
Oh, we appreciate you guys.
So this Christmas season when you guys start your thing. If you need help, let us know.
Yeah, we'll
greatly appreciate that.
And tell everybody if they want to get a hold of you how to do so.
We are available on Facebook at Haunted Toledo and as well as the internet at hauntedtoledo.com.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. Bye, guys.
You have reached the end of Side A of Glass City Paracon 2017 interviews. Please tune in next week as we will welcome Devin and Dennis from Life Spirits Paranormal. Also, a visit from Jeff, who is a custodian at Owens Technical College, that told us some amazing stories that you guys are going to be blown away by. But for this week, thank you for listening and tune in next week.